coming up on Thunder Pop.
This show is so finger licking good. This episode of Thunder Pop is probably episode 12, and I am your host and moderator, Stephen Presley. And this show has got me licking my fingers because the flavors on my fingers is finger licking good. It's better than a bucket of the Colonel's original recipe. Would you agree?
A bucket of just skins? Hell yeah.
Of what?
Of chicken skins.
Chicken
fried
skin.
Fried chicken. You just, you know, the bone, the meat,
Oh, you just like the skins.
Just the bucket of skins.
Did you used to eat, like, eat the skins and then put the rest back in and let somebody... Yeah. The meat too?
That was wrong. When I was a kid.
So wrong. And then nobody else wanted to eat that.
Nope.
Afterwards.
It's like spitting on a, you know, pizza. Oh, you want that? And he's like, no. Okay, I'm going to eat that now.
Mm. All right, on this episode of Thunder Pop, we have Reed Charles.
Hey, what's up?
Who will eat the skin off your chicken, but he's not going to eat the meat.
I'll just leave you that.
And he's going to leave it, and he's going to throw it right back in that bucket.
Mm.
He's like that when it comes to dating, too.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. Just leaving the skins. Boy, Reed is fresh back.
It's a Texas tour,
for
man.
A Texas tour of the Comic-Con festivals that hit a variety of cities. So we're going to hit that.
Boom.
People have been yearning, have been coming up to me and said, when are you going to talk Walking Dead on Thunder Pop? When are you going to talk Walking Dead? Finally, Walking Dead talk on this show.
Shit.
We got a couple of good questions for Reed, too. Reed is our resident Walking Dead expert.
Yeah, so. anything nerdy, I'm pretty much an expert in.
Yeah, it's pretty safe to say.
Well, Johnny's pretty good, too.
Johnny's excellent. Yeah, I got some topics for him, so looking forward to having him, having him come back soon, too. And then, if he'll have me, I'll have him. If he'll have me, but not in that way. I mean, in a, you know. Also, I am Reed playing the role of a TV executive. I'm going to pitch three possible shows. One is a sequel series. The other one is a prequel series to a TV show. Two very successful TV shows from the 80s and 90s. And the third is reimagining a universe. Maybe it's a mashup of sorts. So Reed, as a TV executive, is going to have to be a hard ass, and he is going to pick one of the three for green light to pilot. And he has to do it in a very shrewd way. He's looking at the one he thinks is going to make him the most money and the most successful ratings as a TV executive.
Ooh.
Are you ready for that?
Excellent.
I think he's doing the voice of the emperor who is going to be the TV executive.
TV exec, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Whoops. Let that one go. Reed Charles.
What's up?
You've been on a Texas tour of the Comic-Con festival.
All over Texas, man.
All over Texas. We had Victoria.
Yes.
Dallas, Texas.
Two times.
Reed Charles does Dallas. Two times.
Two times.
We have H-Town in there?
No, I didn't go to that one.
Okay. You missed H-Town. What other ones we have in the mix?
Well, every weekend I went to a Comic-Con.
For how many weeks? A month?
A month.
Since the last time you were on the show, we did a show with...
Matt Wilkins. I'm sorry. Jedi Master Wilkins.
Who, surprise, surprise, is walking through those doors right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Wilkins. What would you do if he walked through the door?
Can I see your comic books?
That's for a second.
It kind of started off kind of scary, though, when he says, let me see your comic...
No!
And I was like, thank goodness he finished with comic books.
Can I see your comic books?
Yeah. So, no, Matt Wilkins is not here. But anyway, we have a Comic-Con every weekend.
Yeah, every weekend, except last weekend was the only weekend I didn't.
And you missed one weekend. You have to take a weekend off every now and again, so you can actually look at some of the stuff you got at the
Comic-Con. All the treasures I came back with.
Comic-Con Festival. So tell us, starting with the first one, which I think was Victoria.
Yeah, after we did the interview with Matt Wilkins around the 28th, towards the end of the month of January.
Like a bounty hunter, you were set off on a mission.
I was on a mission. that first weekend, the last weekend of January, I went off to Victoria. And that was Victoria Con number 3. I was actually surprised how big it was. It was actually pretty big.
Yeah.
Got there, you know, paid the entry fee, went inside. I looked around for comics, and it was all just a bunch of, like, trinkets and stuff you could buy. T-shirts, posters, all kinds of stuff.
Now, how much does a person pay to go into one of those?
That one cost $20 to get in.
$20, and that gets you all day.
All day, yeah.
All day, all access.
All access. I did see Danny Trejo. He was there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he walked right past me. Yeah.
He opened a taco place in Los Angeles. Trejo Tacos.
Trejo Tacos.
Saw it on TMZ, which is funny because his most worked with director, Rob Rodriguez,
is here,
opened a taco place here in Austin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Fresas. Yeah, that's strawberries in Spanish.
Strawberries in Spanish. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Great. Man, their brisket taco. Have you been there?
No, I haven't been to that.
Man, his brisket taco is loaded and it's blow you away like dust till dawn.
Titty Twister, we're slashing pussy in half. Give us an offer on our best selection of pussy. This is a pussy blowout.
Take 3 of them.
They know how to keep a man in line. All right, so yeah, so $20, you're in the door.
Yeah, went in there. Yeah. Man, there were a lot of people that were in cosplay. Pretty good ones. I was actually pretty impressed. There might have been, I could count at least like maybe about 300 cars.
Mm-hmm.
A big crowd. And after about 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I was out of there. Because I...
What?
Next, I got in there. I looked around. I went to every single room they had building. Uh-huh.
Did you talk to Danny Trejo?
No, he walked right past me. Actually, yeah.
Did you say, "Hey, what's up, man"?
No, I just looked at
machete,
him.
Machete, machete, machete.
Uh-huh. And he looked like he was getting out of there. He was leaving.
You probably had seen him before.
Yeah, I saw him
South by Southwest. I'm sure.
Yeah, I think during Southwest, I might have seen him a couple times, but the first time I actually met him here in Austin was over there by the Oasis before it burned down.
Really?
Yeah, I saw him there one time.
At the actual Oasis?
Yeah, he was actually filming Spy Kids.
Yeah.
And he had just done a couple of years Heat. He had just done that one.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I recognize him as the driver in Heat.
Mm-hmm. He's been here a lot over the years filming with Rob Rodriguez and doing other South by Southwest stuff. And so, yeah, I see he's heading out the door. And you're not too far behind him.
No, actually, I crossed. There's an exit that I was approaching, and he was approaching that exit, same exit. And he just took he was actually in a little convoy of people getting them out of there, basically.
Yeah.
It was around, I think, in the afternoon I went there. And after I saw him, I was like, oh, wow, he's here. And then I knew he was going to be there. And walked around.
He was kind of the headliner.
Yeah, he was the biggest
big
one there.
Big one there, yeah.
And after that, I pretty much couldn't find any comics, old Star Wars comics. I couldn't find them. So I said, well, I think I've looked everywhere. There's nothing here.
Did you come out empty-handed?
Yeah, I did.
In Victoria?
First attempt, dust, nothing.
Were you kind of bummed?
I was, so I ended up going to San Antonio.
Yeah. Is that a week later?
No, that same day, I went to San Antonio because a friend of mine was doing a horror con in San Antonio.
Same weekend?
Same weekend, same day.
So you just head on straight to San Antonio.
2 hours later, I was in San Antonio. Uh-huh. And that was cool. I did see a lot of comic books there. A lot of movie stars were there, too. The guy from, was it Karate Kid? The white kid?
Ralph Macchio?
No, the other kid. The white kid that was the bully.
Oh, yes.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, so he was there. He actually bought a couple of action figures from my buddy who had a booth there.
Was it the blonde guy? About the blonde guy?
Yeah, the young kid. And the old man was there too, the sensei. He was there. The white dude. Not
Pat Morita, because Pat Morita's passed away. That would be really a feat if they...
No. No, it wasn't him.
Maybe they brought him in by hologram.
Mr. Miyagi. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Ashley. Nice to meet you, Mr. Miyagi. Can I get a picture? Oh my God.
No. Oh, yeah, okay.
William Zabka.
Yeah, that's him.
He was the original bully in the first Karate Kid.
Yeah, I saw
him
there.
And his trainer. So his trainer was there too.
Yeah, the old dude. Guy,
were they wearing their Cobra Kai outfits? Did they wear the outfits?
No, they were in suits. Okay. They're in suits.
They weren't doing like some karate instruction there.
No. There is signing autographs and pictures and stuff. Yeah. Taking pictures too.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that?
They were the best of all the bullies they had in all the different ones. I think they still were the best.
I only saw the first one. I never saw any other ones.
You didn't get to the second one when they went to Okinawa.
No.
Back to Mr. Miyagi's home.
I think I did see.
And then the third one, which was really...
There's a third one?
I didn't know that.
Milk.
No, there's... It goes to a fourth one.
Jesus.
When they made the next Karate Kid, and they used... It was a girl. He's training a girl.
Oh, it's downhill from there.
But you know who that was? That was Hilary Swank, who later went on to become an Academy Award and winner.
I didn't know that.
She went on to these huge heights, and Ralph Macchio was like, I was a Karate Kid before her! What the hell?
Hiya!
And just to let everybody know, Reed is on a hunt
for anything Star Wars.
Anything Star Wars.
Comic books.
Yeah. Comic books. You want to collect, eventually, you want to get everything.
Every single one of them. Yeah.
Every single one of them.
It'll take years.
Your basis of your mission right now
that's
to go to all these Comic Cons. No, back up San Antonio at the Horror Fest?
I think it's Horror Fest, yeah. Not, that was the weekend before.
Not Horror Fest.
No, not Horror Fest.
Oh, okay.
There were some there.
There was. So it could have been.
But I was on a mission, and I was like, no, there's no time to be dilly-dallying. I need to find these comics.
You were collecting something else.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. San Antonio?
San Antonio was. Well, that was. San Antonio was just like, I'm not going home. I'm not being go home.
You had already went south. You're coming back.
Yeah, might as well. I'll just come back around. And that's when San Antonio went back home. Next weekend, it was Dallas.
And that's where it starts.
That was a success.
Bingo.
Bingo with that one, because I got Star Wars 69, I think it was. Was the first appearance.
69.
With Boba. Or 68. I forget which one.
Okay.
Star Wars, there's 107 of them, right?
Yeah.
I have all of them except for like 20 of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The very first six comics of Star Wars in 1978, when it came out, the first six episodes of that comic book was actual Star Wars, the movie. From episode, I think, 38 to 44,
mm-hmm.
I think it is, was Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
There's six of them, right?
Yeah.
The guy had...
So, the first six is A New Hope.
One through six.
Yeah. And then after
it jumps
that,
all the way to 38.
And then before you get to Empire.
Right.
So between 6 and 38, you've got kind of...
Most of them.
An in-between
of
New Hope and Empire.
Right, exactly. And so when I got section of that comic book that actually deals with the Empire Strikes Back, there was one comic book that was worth about $200. And so the guy who was selling them had the first appearance of Boba Fett.
$200.
It's in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, $100, pretty good shape. And the other five thrown in... I'll do it.
Wow.
So that's what I ended up doing. I got that one. And then I had other ones. Those five that he gave me, some were in bad shape, but I had replacements for those.
Gotcha.
So that was a success. That was the most expensive comic huge book that find. I got. Yeah, huge find.
The bounty hunter found the bounty hunter.
Exactly. The next weekend, I went back to Dallas again, and the same dealer who sold me the Boba Fett, he was there.
Yo, who's that?
Then I got another 42 from there, and then the next weekend was this last weekend,
mm-hmm.
and there was one in Austin and on Saturday, but I was building my fence, so I couldn't go.
Mm-hmm. And so Reed's building a fort around his house
to keep
everybody out.
I wait for my comic books
because he's trying to protect his comic books.
No, sorry, that weekend after Dallas, there was one in Houston called OwlCon,
mm-hmm.
and that one dealt with basically tabletop games. And I didn't go to that because I figured there's no comic. I looked
one I would think that Matt Wilkins would have been up his alley.
Yeah, he might have been there. He might have been there. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. I skipped on that one because I was like, nah, I gotta fix my fort to protect my comic books.
Protect your comic books. You're building a fort.
Yeah.
He's building a Donald Trump wall.
Yeah, Donald Trump wall.
And just like Donald Trump's wall, it just got 10 feet taller.
It just got 10 feet taller.
Once he got that Boba Fett comic book, it just got 10 feet taller.
It's been nice. To tell you the truth, it's been nice driving around Texas
mm-hmm.
and checking out the scenery. Especially out towards Victoria.
Yeah.
Man, that's some pretty territory.
You're enjoying the road
trip. I did,
trip
yeah. It was actually enjoyable.
Trip. Yeah.
So I get to see the country, get to see all these comic books, meet new nerds.
And there's nothing nerdy about this podcast.
Nothing nerdy about this. I'm on a mission. Oh,
nerds. So what's next?
I have an entire calendar of every other Comic-Con that's going to come to Texas.
Would you find that online? Is that available for people that
you have to do a lot of searches. I basically just put in comic book conventions 2016 in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And you have like 10 websites you can go to. And I basically just put them all in chronological order when they happen. And that's when I make a choice, either going to Houston, going to Dallas, one of the two.
It's so vast now.
Yeah.
There's going on.
Texas is enough.
So you don't think you'll even have to go very far out of the area?
No, I don't. No, a lot of these guys who are selling these comic books, a lot of these guys don't have stores. They just have all these comic books in a warehouse, and they bring them out there.
Their mobile store.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how they make their living. They actually run around from convention to convention, pay the couple hundred dollars it costs to get their booth, and they make hundreds of dollars.
Would you ever want to do that?
No, it's too feast or famine. There's no way. Yeah, it's crazy. The last one I went to in Dallas was FanCon, right?
Yeah.
That was huge. That was a gorgeous, gorgeous location where they had it at. And that was really nice.
And you got to know your shit.
I found comic books.
To be one of those guys.
I found one comic book that I know I'll probably never find anywhere else. There's some that I found that are maybe like $10, you know, $20. Yeah. You're never going to find these comic books anywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think the Comic-Cons were the best place.
You're talking about in referencing the Star Wars?
Just Star Wars, yeah. Some of these comic books that were done, like classic Star Wars, these were actually comics that were in newspapers. Mm-hmm. And they converted them to a comic form. And so you had to know a little bit of the history, too. And some of these are a little confusing as far as, were they a comic? Were they a trade back? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty fun.
What's the next one?
Well, there's one in El Paso, which mm-hmm. I think I might skip on that one.
That's pretty far.
That's a pretty far.
That's basically no state.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you got to watch out for the Mexican mafia.
They're gonna they'll kidnap me and take all my comics.
And take your comic books because it's all that's what they want.
They want my comics.
They're gonna behead you and take
for,
your
from my
your,
comic books. Yeah.
To your comic books. So don't go to El Paso. I be skip. Like Sean Penn and try to go meet El Chapo in the jungles with a Mexican soap star.
Dallas and Houston are gonna be the big ones because mm-hmm. Dallas, where it's located, pretty much everyone from the country, you know, goes there. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that was limiting me, of course, was money.
Well, maybe you should try to join the Mexican mafia then and become a hitman for him, and then you can make money.
What comic books do you want? I have them all. So yeah,
I'll bring you any Star Wars comic books you want.
Got them all.
I'll behead those nerds for you.
I'll get them all, man.
So you just wait for them as they're coming out of the Comic Con.
It's exciting. It's for me, it's like, oh, I'm going on a mission to go, you know, get these fuckers, you know.
That's what collecting and hobbying is all about, is that sometimes the chase, the adventure.
Yeah. Well, I actually started a new collection. It might be controversial, but Nazi World War II stamps.
Oh, interesting.
And so I actually have a couple of those too.
You know, it's funny, I was making a joke about Donald Trump's wall.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of heat because of this is not really a political show, but mm-hmm. we do hit upon it sometimes when it crosses over mm-hmm. into things that we're talking about in pop culture. And, you know, he was criticized for the David Duke endorsement he got.
Oh.
Alex Jones talking about Donald Trump.
You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers?
Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how you can study somebody from afar, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have, like, you're endorsing that person. Like, you know, it's like, I read about Hitler, but that doesn't necessarily mean I like Hitler. But I read Hitler. He said, I read David Duke's book. It doesn't mean that I'm a racist. I was just interested in getting into his head. Same thing with the Sean Penn and the El Chapo thing. Sean Penn wanted to go meet El Chapo. He wanted to find out what made a guy like that tick.
Mexican authorities have said knowledge of his trip helped them move in on the drug lord. Penn believes those claims of his contribution are incorrect and could put him in danger.
There is this myth about the visit that we made with El Chapo, that it was, as the Attorney General in Mexico has quoted, essential to his capture. We had met with him many weeks earlier.
On October 2nd,
in a place nowhere near where he was captured.
So as far as you know, you had nothing to do, and your visit had nothing to do with his recapture?
Here's the things that we know. We know that the Mexican government, they were clearly very humiliated by the...
Is he doing research on the film or something? That's only like, why is he doing
it? No, he was writing an article for Rolling Stone.
That's right.
He was going to write an article, yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
odd, very odd.
You got to be crazy to marry Madonna, so...
But they're still married. They'd be married 30 years now.
Yep. They would. They'd have, like, I'd be DJing their 30th anniversary party. All right, we're going to come back. Reed becomes a TV executive as I pitch him three concepts for TV series, and he's got to be shrewd and cold.
Enter.
Get ready. It's going to get nasty.
Kiss some part of I'm going to keep this secret. I'm going to close my body now.
How you gonna want me to improv that? I don't know how.
All right. It's a really bad McConaughey. You'd be more like, No, that's still not. That's the drunk McConaughey, maybe. All right, so I've got three shows. I'm going to be going in to meet the television executive who's sitting in the boardroom, walking in. Okay. Hi. My name is Stephen Presley. I am a writer.
Sit.
And you're Mr. Sir?
You may begin.
All right. Wow, you sound an awful lot like the dude from Star Wars. Is it Palpatine? Are you TV executive Palpatine?
What are you insinuating?
Nothing, sir. Okay, I will sit and start to pitch shows. Please, just please don't steal my ideas and not give me any credit or money for them, like everybody else in Hollywood.
I can't promise you that.
Yeah, you are a Sith Lord after all. All right, so here it is. I got three shows. The first one. So now with all these reboots and sequel series that are coming out and sequel movies that are coming out, they did the Full House that you have on your very network. That now they rebooted it and they're doing Fuller House. It's on your network. So I loved what you all did, where you took like the ideas from the original show but brought them into now, and you kind of flipped it where instead of the three guys running the household, it's the three girls that were raised in the household now are the ones raising kids in the same house. And you kind of did like sort of a thing like Force Awakens, where you took a lot of the ideas from the original, but you brought a new young kind of generation in there.
Is this going anywhere?
Yeah, no, I got it. So here's the idea. People love Tom Selleck. People love Magnum P.I.
Yes, his mustache is sexy.
Yes, those little shorts.
Mm.
Okay, so I never knew Palpatine had gay tendencies, but anyway.
Easy, boy.
All right.
Easy.
I always wondered about you and Darth Vader, or that you and Anakin. Anyway, Magnum P.I. now brought into the modern day time, so much like Han Solo, where he was kind of handing the reins over to a younger cast, Magnum P.I. does the same thing in this Magnum P.I. sequel series. He's got two kids, two grown kids, who are now running the private detective agency in Hawaii. Magnum, kind of semi-retired, just sort of kind of pops in and helps out from time to time.
Will Higgins be there?
Well, Higgins, I think, is dead. So Magnum kind of becomes the new Higgins. He's sort of the boss, kind of the one they check in with to get approval on stuff. Kind of the one they go to when they need help. We could even bring TC back. You know, the guy with the dude with the helicopter?
Yes, I like the helicopter.
We bring him back. I think the other guy that was, the guy with the big hair, I think we could bring him back, although he probably doesn't have big hair anymore. Anyway, we can have Magnum Family P.I. It's the kids now running the detective agency in Hawaii, and Thomas Magnum, their dad, Tom Selleck, back to reprise his role. What do you think? That's my first pitch. Okay, my second pitch. Cheers. Sam Malone, 1980s TV series. Huge hit. Several multiple seasons and multiple spinoffs. Sam Malone, before he was a bartender at Cheers, was a swashbuckling pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
And I'm going for him before I lose my nerve. Sam, that woman over there is a dear friend of mine. Now, she is going through a very difficult period. So, whatever she asks you, please, just say no.
What?
No. Would you excuse us a moment? Fine. Would you object to joining me in my hotel room for an afternoon of wild animal passion?
No!
A real ladies' man. Prequel series. We get the young Sam Malone when he was playing for the Boston Red Sox. Kind of like they're doing with Star Wars, where they took like the Han Solo. They're doing a Han Solo movie, a standalone, where it's Han Solo when he was younger. Prequel about Han Solo. So I want to do a prequel about Sam Malone when he was playing for the Boston Red Sox and make that a series. We can call it Sam Malone. That's the second pitch.
Bored.
Okay, the third one. All right, here's the idea. You know the Justice League, right? Superman?
No.
Batman?
Yes.
Aquaman?
Hmm.
Wonder Woman?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, Green Lantern? I bet Green Lantern could take you with his green ring.
Nothing is more powerful than the Force, the dark side, boy.
Would you crush him?
Like a bug.
All right, so here's the thing. And you just see that shitty Green Lantern movie, you really would have wanted to crush him. All right. With Ryan Reynolds. Although, by the way, Ryan Reynolds really redeemed himself in Deadpool. As far as
I haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it for me, boy. Right,
which means I will spoil it. Keep listening to this podcast. We'll eventually spoil everything for you. Anyway, here's the idea. Justice League in a zombie apocalyptic universe. That's the series. We'll call it Zombie Super Friends. So it'll be like Walking Dead meets the Justice League. So the Super Friends, the Justice League, would be like the gang of survivors on Walking Dead going from camp to camp trying to survive. But instead, it would be the Justice League going from place to place trying to fight the zombie apocalypse. That's the show. So there's your three pitches.
Which one? Well, how are they going to get food?
Well, they're superheroes. I'm sure they can figure out a way.
Will the Green Martian be there? Will the Martian be there?
Sure, he can make a some guest appearances.
I like the Martian. I like him.
We'll have a Green Martian.
Now, what will Wonder Woman wear?
Zombie Super Friends. Are her clothes are going to get ripped a lot? She's going to get dirty because they're going to be in the apocalypse. She still has her invisible plane too. And Superman still has his X-ray vision, which you know he uses on Wonder Woman.
Goo.
Whether he admits it or not, you know he uses it. If I was him, I know I sure as hell would use it. So what do you think? You got Magnum Family PI, straight to Netflix, 13 episodes. Sam Malone, the prequel series to Cheers, where Sam Malone, the baseball player, the young Boston Red Sox pitcher.
No.
Or third.
Destroy that one. Destroy the second one.
Toss that one out. It's boring. Or the third one, Zombie Justice League. Or Zombie Super... I'll call it Zombie Super Friends.
I'd go with Magnum P.I. I like that one.
Really? You picked that one over Zombie Super Friends? Wouldn't Zombie Super Friends be a home run?
No.
Magnum Family P.I. it is. All right. 13 episode pickup on Netflix, right?
Now let's change it up a bit, though.
Oh, what do you want to do different?
With Magnum P.I.?
Do you want him to like do kind of like a Caitlyn Jenner thing where he has like a
yes, we need to have him have a sex change.
Palpatine? Would you go ahead and
excellent. Yes. Good. The ratings would go all the roof.
Yeah.
Imagine all the money we could make from this ridiculous show.
It did kind of work with Bruce Jenner, didn't it?
You to start living as a gay woman.
Kind of got him some more.
It may work.
Kind of got him some more mileage, didn't it? People had pretty much forgotten, didn't care about Bruce Jenner. And then suddenly he's Caitlyn Jenner, and then everybody's like, ooh.
Maybe we can give, instead of a helicopter, we can give him a TIE fighter.
Oh.
Fly around in a TIE fighter.
So it's Magnum Family PI. We switch the helicopter with a TIE fighter.
Yes.
And Tom Selleck gets a gender. Reidentification. What's it called? Reassignment.
Yes.
Okay. There it is, everyone.
So somebody has to be put in carbonite too.
TV executive Palpatine has picked Magnum Family PI, going 13 episodes. And if you're an assistant, a little twerp TV executive's assistant, and you're taking these notes, and I see these shows pop up, I'm coming after you. I'm going to find out who you are. I'm going to come after you. Of course, it won't be the first time someone stole some stuff from me, but I'm not going to name any names, but kick-ass, badass. All right. Anyway, you know Kirk Hunter?
Mm-hmm.
He claims that his neighbor had Rain Man stolen from him. It was his idea. I'm going to have Kirk on the show sometime to talk about it.
Wait, who?
He claims his neighbor wrote Rain Man.
Really?
Yeah, but it was called something else. It was called like Tin Man or something.
Oh, Kirk Hunter. Yeah, I remember Kirk Hunter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, he was a screenwriter, and he had wrote script for Rain Man, but it was called something else. It wasn't Rain Man. It was like Storm Man or Snowman or something like that. All right. When we come back, Walking Dead for that ass all up in this place.
No.
It's going to get cray-cray with some Walking Dead questions for Reed, and then we're going
to
talk about
it. I tried to improv. I don't know if it was any good there.
Pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, I think that sucked.
It's going to. I'm going to edit the hell out of that.
Edit the hell out of that.
The hell out of that. All right. We'll be back here in a minute.
Walking Dead. That's going to be good, too.
Thunderpop, in association with D's Nuts Productions. Got him.
Got him. Got him. D's Nuts. Got him. Got him. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Walking Dead talk. Reed Charles.
Some good stuff there.
Resident expert on Walking Dead. Okay. starting off, I got a couple of questions for you regarding Walking Dead.
Shoot.
Ty Reagan, my coach at my fitness class.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Motivate Fitness, Austin, Texas. Got a little plug in there. You guys owe me a free week. All right. And a shirt. I want a t-shirt too. Motivate Fitness, Austin, Texas. Come to class. Get in shape.
So is your coach asking a question?
He's a huge Walking Dead fan. Mm-hmm. All right. So he's asking, they've been now going for, is it 6 years, Walking Dead?
The sixth season?
Sixth season. They've been going for, since 2010.
Yeah.
The show started.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Yeah.
He said, the people that become undead, mm-hmm. the zombies, I guess you could call them, mm-hmm. the people that become undead, how is it that they've gone the time that they've gone without deteriorating? This is completely deteriorating.
Very true.
How is that? How would you explain that?
Well, I think as a going to nerd logic and the Walking Dead physics.
Because right? You love stuff like this. The physics of a story in a universe.
Yeah, what makes it probable, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I think for one thing, like a zombie doesn't feel pain, right? Mm-hmm. As long as they have muscle, any kind of muscle tissue, that's why they probably can be able to still walk and move around. Now, the brain part that we've seen in one of the episodes where they're at the CDC, the reptile brain basically is still functional in the human brain, right?
Yeah.
And that's the very core of the human brain, the very center, the core. That's like they call it the lizard brain, I think is what it's called. So that still functions. If any part of the brain gets damaged, of course, it just deteriorates. That's how you kill it, basically, right? As long as, if we're talking about this reptile brain, the main thing is food, right? That when you see animals, most animals don't live in houses. They live in out in the wilderness.
In the ground or in the cave, in the rocks.
Well, that's if they're that smart, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, but the first thing they do is food. Food, mm-hmm. shelter, those are the main things. So mm-hmm. I think a zombie is kind of like back to a animal state, lizard state, you know, where it's basically food. Mm-hmm. So as long as it gets food, any kind of flesh, horses, dogs, cats, anything that's meat or anything you can eat, that's what they need for nutrition. Mm-hmm. So obviously they can still digest. They have obviously they don't really have a repair system in their body. Like they don't their wounds don't heal. Maybe they do very slowly. Maybe it's possible. We haven't seen that, and so that's what probably keeps them going. And so
like a regeneration, regenerating.
It's very
like a lizard,
right? Yeah, exactly. So
if you cut a lizard's tail off,
right? A gecko, the tail will grow back slowly.
And no, not that I ever never did that when I was a kid.
I feel sorry for little lizards. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I could think of is that would make sense that the body changes, right?
Yeah.
To where it's basically down to the basics, and mm-hmm. so maybe that's what causes these zombies to crave nutrients, right? And that's how they're able to continue on. Now, I think there's always new zombies being created, right? Because people are dying.
Oh, every day.
Right? And
every episode.
So you have a fresh supply of the same way, like, for example, like even on the Earth right now, you have two people being born every couple of minutes and one person dies, right?
Yeah.
So the population of the world increases. So if you had that kind of odds where two zombies appear, one person dies. Mm-hmm. Two zombies appear, one person dies. So the population increases and the zombie population increases.
Plus, there's still some baby making going on Walking Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
From the first season, there was baby making going on.
The physics
of... And baby taken.
Baby taken, yeah.
That too.
The probability of it, actually how it works, the science behind the Walking Dead universe, that's how I would think how that would work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes any sense to you at all.
How does this work?
Yeah.
How do they do that, Dad?
Yeah.
How do they make that happen? How do they hedge pull off this?
I don't know, boy.
Shut up. I'm watching Walking Dead.
So I hope that answers his question.
Very interesting. Yeah. So do you think there's a possibility that maybe not our future, but maybe future generations future, that technology, modern medicine, the future of medicine, they'll figure out a way to genetically modify where we can regrow our body parts if we lose a limb or if we have
bad. Oh, now? You mean in real life?
Is that possible?
Yes.
Is that possible now?
Yes.
Have we gotten to that?
Well, they've been able to grow an ear on the back of a mouse, right?
Like a human's ear on the back of a mouse?
Mm-hmm.
That would be freaky looking.
They did it. They've done it. So as long as you have stem cells, you can introduce your DNA to it, and it's like it'll adhere itself to it, and whatever that code is in that DNA will form.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the idea of growing livers, growing kidneys, growing hearts, possibly growing brains,
mm-hmm.
parts of the brain that can be replaced.
Mm.
So that's kind of cool. So if that's true, I think there should be a balance. When you have people that live on forever and ever, which would be, of course, I would like that because I want to see how where we end up, you know, in time. But I think these body parts that can eventually be replaced, I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did that focus group at A&M. Now that explains everything.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, the time they made that titty grow out of my shoulder.
Breathtaking. I shall call him Mini-Me.
I had to have that thing scraped off. I went to the dermatologist and had that little Dolly Parton's breast growing out of my shoulder.
I didn't know you then, I guess, right?
I got $800 for that. And free ice cream at Blue Bell, not the Blue Bell factory.
And you grew a titty on your arm?
And I grew a titty on my arm, and I had to walk around. What I did is I leaned heavily to one side,
ow,
so where it was a little less noticeable.
I suppose.
Although everybody keep wanting to like shove their face into my arm. 9 to 5. All right. So the other question is, okay, Daryl, who would you say is the second biggest character on The Walking Dead?
Oh, man.
Some people would say for many people, the ladies love Daryl.
I'm going to take a piss.
You have to be quiet.
Can't hear you. I'm taking a piss.
Daryl, don't talk so loud.
What, are you my chaperone now? Oh, wait. It's my turn, right? I never eat frozen yogurt. Never had a pet pony. Never got nothing from Santa Claus. Never relied on anyone for protection before. Hey, I don't think I've ever relied on anyone for anything.
Daryl.
Never sung out in front of a big group out in public like everything was fun. Like everything was a big game. I sure as hell never cut my wrist looking for attention.
Is he the second most important character after Rick Grimes?
Man.
Or is he the most important character?
Did
it start off being Rick, and then eventually it became Daryl over time?
Yeah, Daryl's definitely number two when it comes to Rick. Now, as far as who he takes orders from or any kind of advice from, I think Rick's the only one, you know? Michonne has huge power, too. She's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think, Daryl is definitely his own, and it, you know, yeah. What was the question? I was in awe of him.
My question is, I'm kind of curious if Daryl, would you consider him to be the most important character or just the second most important after Rick?
I would say second after Rick, yeah.
Like if you were TV executive over at AMC and contracts were up and you were going to have to pick, you weren't going to be able to renew everybody.
Like kill somebody off?
You were going to have to kill. So suddenly Andrew Lincoln, the actor who plays Rick Grimes, and Norman Reedus, who now is doing movies. He's in Triple Nine.
Yeah, Triple Nine, yeah.
So, yeah, so his price may go up.
Who do you kill? Who do you kill off?
So you can't afford to keep both. Actors are now asking for more money. You're not going to be able to afford to keep
it's
both.
It's got
to
be Daryl, man.
Which one are you killing off?
Daryl.
Daryl,
yeah.
Because Rick's too important to the story, the plot.
Right
the
movie, now, yeah, he is.
Yeah. Ty asked for Motivate Fitness. Mm-hmm. The plug there. I get another free week, guys. I'll be checking my
He has two questions?
He had one more question.
Oh, one more?
Well, related to Daryl.
Okay.
He was curious because he wasn't a follower of the comic book series.
Shame on you.
Yeah. He's just too much, too busy out there teaching fitness classes.
Actually, he'd probably be a good person to talk to. If it ever happened, the zombie apocalypse, you'd probably want him.
Yeah, oh, you'd want him on your team.
You'd want him on your team.
Yeah, you'd want a band of those guys from the boot camp to start helping us. So, plus he can run, so you can have someone to run fast too. Of course, that only helps him. Unless he picks you up and puts you over his shoulder, it's not going to help you much. From running from the zombies. Okay, he's curious. He didn't follow the comic book series. Mm-hmm. He was curious, was Daryl a part of the original comic books, or was he someone they added for the TV show?
No, he was not part of the comic books, and he was added for the show.
That's what he suspected.
Yes.
So that's got to be a problem for you, because you're not a big fan of, like, breaking away.
No, not at all. This one, unlike Star Wars, right? We've talked about that.
Because we were just talking about this in the last episode.
Yeah.
You were on.
This particular way, the comic book is one universe, right? Mm-hmm. I believe there's maybe one novel or two novels that are connected to it, I believe. And that's canon with that particular series. Right now, Walking Dead is on comic book issue 151 or 152, I think. I forget.
Yeah.
And the TV show is its own universe, parallel universe, and I like them both. I love them the same. Now, of course, I love the comic book more, but the show is good. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoy the show. They're tied. To me, they're tied. Because
well, why is that okay for Walking Dead, but it's a sin for Star Wars?
Because
it's the same,
because,
it's the same thing, isn't
well,
it?
Well, but the reason why is because Kirkland is in charge of both.
Mm-hmm.
He is the king of both of them. Mm-hmm. Like the way George Lucas is the king of all the Star Wars universe, EU, Kirkland is the king of both mm-hmm. universes.
Yeah.
So he's the overall god that watches over these two parallel universes, and he decides where they're going to go. That's why they're. I accept them both.
Oh, and by the way, you haven't listened to the last episode yet with Judson and Jeff,
mm-hmm.
but Judson, he completely like pisses on your guys' theories on expanded universe and...
So, oh, what'd you say?
So we'll just wait. You'll listen okay. to the episode. Yeah, you get to check it out, and then you can kind of... Maybe we'll have you both on. There'll be a good debate, you two.
Okay.
We've been wanting to have some more debates on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. And then another one of the characters they did... recast. It was a guy in the comic books. They made a woman in the she was the one that oversees the latest area that they were going to for.
Oh, you mean the senator?
Yeah.
Wait, they changed the male to a female?
They changed the male to a female.
That's the senator. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay change too. That was okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the comic book. Oh, you know, if I'm everything I'm talking here,
yeah.
it's going to be with the last episode and the
spoiler
last
spoiler alerts. Yeah. So spoiler alerts. If you
so
have,
whatever, yeah, whatever I say about the comic books doesn't mean it's going to happen in the show.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, but in the comic books, it was a male senator.
Yeah.
And his wife had already passed away. In the show, they made her a female. They made the senator a female and the same son. I think she might have had an extra one son. I think in the show, I think it was.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong about that.
Who's your favorite character of The Walking Dead?
Oh, Rick Grimes. Yeah.
Rick Grimes.
Definitely my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could be like him.
No, take some shit. He doesn't take any shit, does he?
He's getting, yeah.
Well,
he's crazy.
He's gotten crazy. Well, he's gotten more crazy. He has his up and downs.
I'm Rick Grimes. I was a deputy in the King County Sheriff's Department. You have two of my people. I have two of yours. I'm here to make a proposal. This fire won't go out. Can't go back, Bob. My family. But if what you're hiding somehow hurts them in any way, I'll kill you.
He's definitely becoming more of what the comic book character is. That's what I'm seeing. That's yes, finally.
You know, that's one of the things really interesting about the show, too. When you watch some of the characters on the show, mm-hmm. some of the characters took their portrayals like very literal to what they were portraying on the screen to mm-hmm. what it was like in the comic books, where some of the actors took a little bit more creative interpretation and yeah. sort of changed the character up a little bit to kind of fit them.
Well, Carol's characters, I know the actress's name, but the Carol that it's on the show.
Uh-huh. That's Melissa McBride.
Melissa McBride. Now, her character in the comic book had committed suicide.
Yeah.
She committed suicide by zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up close to a zombie at the prison, and the zombie bit her. And so because she was alone, she was a battered wife.
In the comic books.
She's dead.
Yeah.
And so in the show, though, they've made her a strong woman. And she's like...
Well, she evolves into that.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
She becomes a badass.
That's like Breaking Bad, from good to complete badass. And that's all she was. She was a victim to badass.
People love seeing that evolution of the character.
How the character has changed for the good. Changed mm-hmm. for the better, basically.
Yeah. And then sometimes people start off really badass and they just become a pussy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to think of where that's happened, but somewhere in life that's happened.
Oh yeah,
Homer Simpson. I bet Homer Simpson was a total buff badass before he got married.
Before he started working for the chemical, the nuclear power
working,
plant,
he became a pussy. He started working for the chemical plant and kind of just sort of a number now.
Yeah,
getting pushed around.
All right, buddy, that's it. I'm a whee! Out of the trim.
This is the thing with The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You were mentioning when we were getting ready to record earlier how you were talking about how their timeline and how they work.
Oh, I mean like in real human. Okay, so yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
After I guess it starts for everyone. It starts differently, but when Walking Dead came out on an AMC,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was actually a comic book, and I was shocked, and I was like, "What? Why didn't I hear about this?" And so. I started collecting the comic books right away, and I started collecting as many of them as I could.
You took to Walking Dead right away.
Oh,
like
right
most
away.
People.
And the reason why, it's just another stupid zombie movie, but no, it was very powerful. And I was like, yeah, these things could happen. And so I started collecting the comic books, and the comic books, I within 2 weeks, I read from 1 all the way to like 86, something like that, in two mm-hmm. weeks. It took me that long to read them all.
Well, it's one of the most developed
yes.
backstories.
That's okay. Now, that's
any zombie
right. What was
movie
it
or series ever
that made it? You know, the rest of the world. What was going on? Right.
Yeah.
And so this is part of my
they gave some
my similarities
chicken to those bones.
Yes.
That you can eat the skin off of.
Yes, eat the skin and eat the bones too.
You'd eat the
marrow.
On
get the marrow over that.
You'd get it, yeah.
There really is a Kentucky Fried Chicken school.
Yep, today we're making the Colonel's original recipe.
What have you learned?
Fresh chicken makes the best chicken.
And that we use 11 herbs and spices.
Oh, but that's the Colonel's secret. And special pressure cooking.
So it's always tender and juicy.
Looks like you've learned to make great chicken.
Only way to serve our customers right.
It's so nice to be.
So what I see in The Walking Dead, the reason why it's so well done is I see the comparison to the Dark Ages when the fall of the Roman Empire. And the reason why I say it is because during the fall of the Roman Empire, around 200 AD, around yeah. there, 400 AD, mm-hmm. the Roman Empire fell. There was a huge trading, you know, I guess, routes from Italy to Gaul, to Germania, to Britannia. And even further north to the Vikings, right? And that kind of stuff, before they were Vikings.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of trading going on between the Norse countries and the Roman Empire. And that's where they got a lot of the amber that you find. A lot of amber was found in Scandinavia
yeah.
and brought down until it was traded. So these people that in their grave sites in Scandinavia, a lot of these were like rich kings that were buried with their women, with their wives, and buried with horses and not swords and all kinds of stuff, gold and everything, right? They started noticing that the grave sites got cheaper. They got poorer. And that coincided with the fall of the Roman Empire. So when the Roman Empire fell, the Dark Ages came. Mm-hmm. And when you have all these Germanic people, the Anglo-Saxons that were living in Germany, where do you go? You wander around. Hey, there's territory over here called England. Let's go over there. And all these Anglo-Saxons came over after the Romans left. Britannia, right? Mm-hmm. So there was Roman people roaming around, and they went to greener pastures, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So after that, you start having warlords coming around. The Vikings came around like 700, 600 around there, all the way up to like 1300. These wandering boat kings, these wandering kings, these warlords running around raiding and pillaging and bringing the gold and silver back to their kingdoms.
And Prescott Bush was funding their cause too, as well, wasn't it?
so that's what you see in real time, that you have the Dark Ages, the fall of a huge empire, the Dark Ages, and you have these wandering kings, and you have these kingdoms, and eventually everything starts to become back to civilized. There's trading routes being reestablished, and there's commerce comes back. Commerce is a number one thing for humans. Eventually, start trading with the people, right? So after Aussie, I understand the history of all of Europe, how Dark Age, how that happened. Then you start looking at Walking Dead.
Now, and you're seeing parallels.
The exact same thing.
Was that intentional, or do you think they?
I think Kirkland knows European history. That's what I think.
And he sort of based a lot of that off.
Yeah.
Of-
so you have the United States or the entire world that gets sick from a disease. Everyone dies off. Mm-hmm. Society breaks down. The empire breaks down. The United States, the whole yeah. world, the world global economy falls apart.
Yeah.
Then you have people wandering. They wandered from Georgia all the way to Washington, D.C., Alexandria. There are you people wandering around, migrating to other places where there are greener pastures, like the way the Anglo-Saxons went to England. Then, after they have safety, they started making farms, then you have wandering kings running around, the Vikings, the raidings, yeah. just like Negan, the hilltop, the kingdom, sanctuary, Alexandria. All these places start developing trade with each other. But you have this one wandering king, this one wandering warlord, Negan, can be demanding tribute for protection. Mm-hmm. And so now you see that that's where it's going now. That's where Walking Dead is now, is right after the Dark Ages. It's starting, there's a bigger community out there. So right now, the show, episode 10 of season 6?
Season 6.
Episode 11 came out last weekend.
Yeah, second half of that right. season.
And so right now, in the comic books, that's around episode 95, around there, just before 100. Mm-hmm. So
story-wise, they're pretty close to the comic books.
Right now, the comic books are at 151, 152.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the show is at episode maybe 95, 96, for 95 around there. That's where they're at in the timeline as a comic book.
Right okay, now. That's interesting, because I'm going to hit on that more yeah. specific, what you're mentioning there.
Yeah.
When we get to agree or disagree later, I've got mm-hmm. a real specific question. I'll be interested to see. It was pulled off of some actual quotes
Ooh.
On the internet. Okay. So, favorite character is Rick?
Yeah, Rick Grimes is definitely my favorite character, yeah.
Yeah. So, if you had a choice as an actor, Reed's an actor?
Failed actor, yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I like doing plays. I like doing acting. I love it. It's fun.
Okay. You were given a chance to be cast on Walking
Negan.
Dead. Walking Dead.
Negan.
We'll give you a character. We'll write you in. You'll be added to the news.
I'd want to be Negan.
Okay. So you get a
character. No, you know, I take it back. Negan's my favorite character. Really? Well, the reason why he's my favorite character is because in the comic books, he's my favorite character.
Oh, okay. So you'd like to play that character.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So you get a chance to do a season of Walking Dead or appear in one of the Star Wars films, new upcoming Star Wars films, and you'd get a principal role. Which one are you taking?
That's a hard one. I had to really think about that.
You got
to
decide now.
It's not going to happen, but I had to really think about it.
You got
to
decide now.
Now?
Yeah. Palpatine's asking.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead season? Yeah,
definitely.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's a tough choice, that, for you.
Yeah.
You probably would almost have to see scripts first.
I sure as hell wouldn't want to get lines that T-Dog got. Hmm. You know, T-Dog.
Oh, yeah. Get a shotgun now!
Well, what are you, 70?
We can't go back. I'm sorry, it's suicide.
I should do it, you know. Okay?
T-Dog.
Get out of your damn minds.
Tough time.
Damn, man. Open your eyes. Look where we are. Stuck in this mess here.
Who knows how that hurts? Throbbing something awful.
Oh, shit.
That poor guy. He just wasn't given a chance.
No. Sometimes that happens, unfortunately. Now, I'll tell you who's been a badass is Miss Sean.
Oh, yeah, man.
Her character.
Oh, yeah.
And that actress.
Yeah.
I call her the female Blade.
Yeah. She is from the comic books. Yeah. It's real close.
Yeah.
She's doing her own little spin to it, but it's really good. Yeah.
So they've got, and I like that. Sometimes an actor can take it to do a little spin to it. You know, I mean, sometimes
make it their own. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to make it your own as an actor. So that's disrespectful.
This is one of the cool things when I was reading one of the comic books. On the back of the comic book, they have comments, right? And people write letters to Kirkland himself and some of the writers and producers.
Yeah. That's cool.
And they answer some of the questions. And one of the questions was, wait, how long has it been since the Walking Dead thing, happened when it all broke down? They're still eating canned foods. Oh, no, canned foods only last for like 2 years. And they came back and said, no, not actually. If cans are kept proper in a right condition and not damaged, they could last for quite some time, 8-9 years, some time. MREs in the military, those things will last for years.
And you know that.
Yeah, I know that.
You knew that yourself.
They could be there 2-3 years. But canned foods, they can last longer than 2 years. That's true.
What was Kirkland doing before Walking Dead?
The comic books. I think he's...
Oh, before?
I think he did do writing. I'm not sure about his history, though. But I know he's definitely done really well with the comic books. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen... Okay, this is going to kind of riff on The Walking Dead a little bit. This is a thing called Honest Trailers.
Oh, God, I hate those.
Oh, man, here they go.
Refuse to listen to those.
Is rated S for spoilers.
Reed's taking a bathroom break.
From the network
take a shit
Breaking
right
Bad, a show you couldn't stop watching, comes a show so inconsistent you have to keep talking yourself into watching The Walking Dead.
Bullshit.
Enter the aftermath of a zombie apocalypse.
Do you think he's reaching a little bit for that to go after him
on
that?
I don't like that.
Some critics do criticize the show for sometimes dragging in some seasons. There was the season where
boo hoo. Well, boo fucking who?
There was a season everybody's got such short attention span.
Yes.
Now.
I hate that.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Is that ruining?
What are we talking about right now?
Yeah, example made.
Where no one says the word zombie.
You know the story behind her. Right?
Even the zombies are texting in the middle of their... they're like, hold on a second. I want to come and eat you, but I got a text.
I got a text.
Lurkers.
Geeks. Corpses.
The dead.
Spiders.
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 Walker.
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 What do you call
mom?
Where humanity goes back to riding horses, fighting with crossbows, and driving the fully loaded 2012 Hyundai Tucson. Damn, they keep that thing clean.
Now, there's a story behind that car, too.
Oh.
The Walking Dead episodes.
Yeah.
The girl.
You talked about that a little bit a few weeks back, yeah.
There's information in those. That's little information.
Yeah.
The coolest one, as far as like where the rest of the world is at.
Yeah.
China was actually able to maintain order for quite some time after this. So they actually...
In the history and what you were talking about.
Yeah. And you'll see that in the Walking Dead episodes. Yeah.
They play on that in the webisodes. They cover that.
Saddle up with the group.
The group seems supportive.
This group is broken.
I'm keeping this group together.
Kind of off subject. But why has the fear of Walking Dead not been able to hold an audience as well as Walking Dead? Because it started off with some blockbuster ratings.
People are stupid. They have an average IQ. Well, the people who are watching it have an average IQ of maybe like 70 or 80, which they actually are the Walking Dead, watching the Walking Fear of the Walking Dead. You know what I mean?
Elitist.
Yeah. No, you know, no. It's the beginning of it. Of course.
No, we want to hear your opinion. Well, there's parallels then. We're all zombies like in the show.
Yes.
We're all the undead.
No, it's too slow. Because they're too slow.
It's Idiocracy.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Featuring Rick, the leader, who stands by his decisions until he doesn't.
I won't leave again. I have to go.
Your place is here.
This isn't a democracy. We vote. We don't.
Of course, Rick's... Is he laughing? He's laughing.
That's pretty funny.
He says he hated on his trailer, but he's laughing.
Fuck it. But it's funny, though. He does.
Of course, Rick's wife that was screwing around on him.
Well, she didn't know. She didn't know he was still alive.
Right, but she's supposed to wait. I know.
Well, come on.
I'm kidding. People that follow The Walking Dead know in season one, Rick was written off for dead, right?
Yeah.
So, but did his friend know he was dead? Did his friend know he was still alive? The one that was messing with his wife?
No, he didn't know.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know.
But he was a scumbag, though, wasn't he?
No.
He tried to kill him in the forest.
Well, yeah, that's true. He messed up by trying to kill him.
He kind of backed off, but he was going to try to kill him.
He was jealous, yeah.
Kind of scumbag.
But he was scoring with Andrea, so like, what's the big deal, dude?
Yeah, he was scoring with a lot of people, wasn't he? I think they talked about that.
Kill the living.
Meet his best friend, Shane.
There he is.
He left him for dead, slept with his wife, and tried to kill him twice. You know, typical best friend stuff. Daryl, the sexiest redneck in Georgia. Glenn, who used the apocalypse to date way out of his league.
I'll have sex with you.
Really?
Andrea.
You ever had that date? Where she says, I'll have sex with you, and you're like, really?
Really?
Does that sound like one of your dates you've had?
Yeah, come on.
Couple of
days. Last person you want to be stuck in an apocalypse with.
That's also one of your dates, like an undead coming at you, and you're kind of trying to run away from him.
Yes.
You've had that date before, haven't you?
Yes, run away.
I shot Daryl.
All these people.
I'm going to eat your neck. Come back, Reed Charles.
Who were just kind of there. And Lori, the most hated character on the show, full of fleshy monsters. What?
She's the most hated character?
Yeah, but... Yeah,
she pawns off her kid.
Look at Carl for me. Dale, you take Carl up to the house.
Dale, have you seen Carl?
Crashes her car on an empty road. And even in death, is literally haunting the show with her annoying presence.
I can't help you. Get out. Get out.
She's the worst. Together, they'll travel with a cast of supporting characters like T-Dog.
poor T-Dog. We're just talking about.
Okay, see that there was one episode called Neighborly Advice, right?
Episode,
very good episode.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, his performance in that the neighbor who was like a prepper.
I need to watch these. I haven't watched these.
They're
episodes.
Good.
I mean, you've been talking about them.
That guy had more character development in that one episode than T-Dog had. It's not T-Dog's fault, man.
It's not the actor's fault.
No, it's not they didn't. You know, he's not in the comic books either. Mm-hmm. T-Dog's not in the comic books.
You can give Denzel shitty material to work with.
Yeah.
There's only so much Denzel can do with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they didn't really give him a chance.
Oh, okay. Then Merle.
I ain't gonna beg.
Andrea. Dale. Zombie Shane. Sophia.
Who's better? Shane or Zombie Shane? Who's worse?
Shane.
But nobody's really as despicable as the governor?
No, the governor...
Is he the most...
No.
The evilest of the evil?
Negan?
Yeah.
He is the best.
But the governor's kind of sick and twisted, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he was like that. But the comic book, he was a Mexican dude.
Really?
And he was more twisted in the comic book than he was in the show. The show version was, I think, was weak.
Yeah.
It was 2 week, yeah.
Even though he's
an English actor, he's okay.
They changed the ethnicity, but I mean, were you still okay with him?
No,
he wasn't.
He became the governor when he shot all those people in front of the Martinez.
Yeah,
that's when he became the governor.
Mm.
That's what he should have been before that. That's the governor that I knew
mm-hmm.
before everything went down.
Oh yeah, when they went flashback.
No, why not? When he shot everyone there, when they were asking him, he shot him, and they were freaked out.
That's when he finally, you saw.
That's the governor.
That's when you saw him finally became the governor you knew.
The one I knew from the comic books, okay. Right.
So then you were like, yeah, there he is.
There he is.
I got you.
Yeah.
Amy? Milton? Those prison dudes? Anyone?
You know that one sound effect that's kind of like a squishy sound? That gets used so much. They always have that like on, ready to go anytime. Just hit the squish button. Hit the squish button.
Man, the actors on Game of Thrones have better job security. But the undead aren't the only thing after the group. They'll also have to keep an eye out for the governor, the nicest mass murderer since Lotso Huggenbear.
Oh yeah, if I was an actor and I got cast on Walking Dead, I would put money in the bank. It wouldn't be like getting a job on another series where you're like, oh, I'm set for like this show becomes a hit. I'm set for like 5 to 10 years. No, not on Walking Dead. You may be off in 2 episodes.
We have to go.
What? You just got here.
I'll have a look around. Who knows? I like what you see.
Why Jesse ruthlessly guns down innocent people. Including
that was awesome.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. Definitely crazy. Yeah. Fans of the comic have been waiting years to see their favorite characters come to life on the small screen, and after 3 seasons, they're still waiting. Instead, witness a season about the group's desperate search for answers, an uneven season about a fight for survival, and season 2.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about, where it got slow in Walking Dead.
Yeah, in the farm.
Yeah. It's all like the water running.
I mean,
man, that farm. Starring filthy clothing, infinite ammo, basic cable nudity, improbable headshots, group debate.
Let's just see where everybody stands, then we can talk through the options.
Dale face.
I think if I became part of the group on Walking Dead, I would immediately shoot Rick.
No, what's wrong? No.
So I can take over.
No, man.
I said, I'm in charge now,
no,
bitches.
No, you don't. You
anybody
don't,
have a problem with that?
Don't kill anybody.
I just killed Rick. Anybody got a problem with that?
No, man. Saying? You don't. It's like when you play Fallout 3. You know, Fallout New Vegas.
Uh-huh.
You just don't shoot everybody you see, man. You got to negotiate. You got to do trading. You got to find the stories out. You shoot people unless they really have to be shot.
You're always going to have your hand on the gun, though, aren't
oh,
you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be
on this
like,
show.
Yeah.
Quick draw.
Quick draw.
You're going to be practicing your drawing.
I'm not going to shoot anybody unless they have to be shot.
Ugly cry face.
That was cool. Like that.
Yeah.
Rick's hat. Gun safety.
Make sure you got a round in the chamber and you safety off.
Take the safety off.
Michael Cargill. I'm making a cameo on the... Michael Cargill is the guy that teaches the gun safety classes here in town.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of a localized joke there.
Bite checks.
He's got no bites.
Was he bit?
Were you bit?
Did you get bit?
Zombie extras drinking water. Stuff.
Stuff.
Things. Silent hand gestures. And Shane rubbing his head.
I'd be scratching my balls. You know, when you start getting dirty and sticky, and they're always dirty and sticky, and they're in the same clothes, I'm scratching my balls a lot. Yeah, my balls are going to itch. Heck with rubbing the head.
My ass is itchy.
Huh?
I have an itchy ass.
I'm going to have an itchy ass, too. Greasy, muddy.
And I took a shower.
The Walking Dead.
You know, whenever I don't really have anything to say on this show, I do this. But I have no idea what to say. That's what I do. There's a little secret of Thunder Pop, kind of the behind the scenes. Yeah. Whenever you've heard that, I don't know what I'm going to say next. So I'm just going to go, I hope you've got more to say. There you go. What do you think about the latest developments in the story?
Oh, do you know about that?
What? Hey, spoiler alerts are okay.
I was so fucking excited
spoiler
to see
alerts
that.
By the way, if you haven't seen season 6, second half,
episode 10
Walking Dead,
episode 10. I was really, really excited. I was cupping my hands. I was almost like tearing. I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah
I was really happy to see that, you know, them hook up.
It seemed like it was something that people were waiting for
well,
while.
See, at that time, in the comic books at that time, Andrea's still alive in that time.
Yeah.
She died at the governor's place, right? Mm-hmm. So she's still alive.
Yeah.
But Michonne and Rick...
There ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
But they have a real, real close relationship to where they're like, they're family.
They're both a couple of badasses, too.
They're exactly. Mm-hmm. And Michonne has his back, and Rick has her back, mm-hmm. definitely.
I mean, after Daryl, she's like the next yes. person you'd want to have as yes. your wingman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For kicking ass and saving the apocalypse.
And she was a lawyer before that. She was a lawyer. She had mm-hmm. a, I don't know if she had a, where she got the katana, because the katana is, you know, the real thing.
Yeah.
And now she had it in her apartment or her house, you know, before everything went to shit.
Mm. Do zombies shit?
Their pants, yeah.
Do they just let it go? They just let it drip? They don't, they're, like, they don't.
Like, it's actually like a horse, like an animal, just right there.
Do they have sex?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
That'd be some gross ass sex, wouldn't it? Zombie porn?
Yeah. Yeah. We wouldn't want to do that.
Be some gross ass
stinky.
Stuff.
All stinky.
Oh, man. You know what? Have you seen this? This is all kind of off subject a little mm-hmm. bit, but these have been all in the news last week or so. The oh. Samsung Gear VR.
What's that?
Okay, there's these glasses that are coming with the new Android phones. I'm going to have Johnny Lightfoot on because he...
VR porn?
The VR. It's a headset and glasses, mm-hmm. and so it gives you... And actually, last year at the Interactive South by Southwest...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me and my wife, we went to the Interactive, and we got to test out Whoa. Some of the prototypes that they
had.
So
they put you in a world, and you could look around it?
They set us in like a little theater, so mm-hmm. we were sitting in these chairs,
yeah.
and we put on the glasses and the headset, and so it gave us the impression that we were in a football stadium.
Whoa.
Like actually sitting in the stands of the football stadium.
Wow.
But so now, with the new Android, I think it's the S7? Mm-hmm. With the new S7, you buy the new S7, you get these virtual reality glasses come with them, with the headset. So now already YouTube is full of videos, people testing out the virtual reality porn.
Yeah.
That is on the testing block.
My porn consumption?
I don't want to incriminate myself.
Do you want a number?
I guess there have been certain times where it's been more than other times.
I hope not too much.
I feel sorry. I feel like they went to like a porn shop and they found these guys because these guys look like guys that would, like some of these guys look like guys that would be hanging out at a porn shop.
Damn.
And they say, hey, would you come and test out our virtual reality porn glasses?
Sure.
Sure.
Come home after
you get
a long
free
day
soda.
Work. It's relatively frequent.
Once a day? Once every other day?
None.
So today what we're actually going to do is we're going to have you try on some virtual reality with a little porn segment cut to it.
Oh, wow.
You want to try this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Setting the mood.
Well, weird.
Oh, you can look around.
Okay. Here she is.
Wow. This is dangerous. Ugh. Is that my dick?
So they're showing a split screen what they're
yeah, what they're seeing, but they covered it. Yeah.
And then they're showing them sitting and how they're reacting to the experience.
That's crazy.
Oh, now she's giving him a blowjob.
This is a test that could have gone really bad. Like if someone had like kind of got too excited in the middle of testing the glasses.
Yeah,
they could have had like clean up in aisle 9.
Oh man!
They dressed up in R2-D2 outfits.
I could see why people would be into this.
This is actually amazing.
This is like in the movies, man.
This is like Star Trek stuff, isn't it? Like when they used to have the holodeck.
Yeah, the holodeck.
Well, that's next. We'll have a holodeck in our lifetimes.
No way. Why? Well, they're coming close to getting 3D TVs. You know, I mean, I guess we got hologram TVs. Yeah.
Well, they already have the... there's only a few of them in the nation, but mm-hmm. IMAX has an expanded version of the IMAX that has a full experience where you get the smells.
Oh, walking in.
Yeah, we were talking... We went to the theater, and we went and saw...
Chair.
The chairs.
The vibrating chair. Yeah.
They had the vibrating chairs at the Galaxy Theater, and they were using those for Deadpool, where you go in and see Deadpool, and you could sit in the vibrating chair during Deadpool, and so you would have an experience with the movie You know, just thinking about movies you've seen recently, like Revenant, where you could see the Revenant in one of those vibrating chairs. Yeah. So like when he's wrestling the bear, the chair would be going crazy.
Grabbing your ass. Oh, the bear's got my ass.
Grabbing your ass and trying to rip your dick off and stuff like that. I don't want to go to a theater though where a chair is trying to rip my dick off.
Mm, not a good idea.
Speaking of that, would you wear these? Would you get a pair of these?
Not on camera.
Yeah, you're not going to be one of those assholes that's like trying to almost coming on yourself wearing it on the YouTube.
I need a towel.
Is this going to replace the female mannequins?
Oh, Real Dolls.
Yeah. Is this going to replace Real Dolls? This could replace Real Dolls.
Yeah, man. Well, Real Dolls has its own little, you know, they're their own little thing, but you can have them both. Have Real Dolls and this.
Oh, the two combined.
Combine them both.
That's Superman and Batman. Yep. That's the whole Justice League.
Fighting over your penis.
Yeah. All right, we come back. I had to show that to Reed because I knew Reed would get a kick out of that.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, we're gonna have Johnny on at some point because I know he's selling these.
Really?
I know he's probably already had some of these in his possession.
Damn.
I'm gonna try to get him.
Make sure you clean them or clean your hands.
I'm gonna see if he can check some out and bring them to the show. So we can test. I'll have you back if you want to come on. We can bring and put them on the. You're not gonna do any.
I don't want to do any porn.
You're not
stuff.
Gonna do any porn. Well, we'll do something cool.
Maybe like Superman.
Like something like flying.
Yeah,
something.
Flying would be cool.
Like a flying or in a spaceship.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Light speed.
With porn. Midget porn. On the spaceship. Reed and a midget porn on the spaceship.
Bunch of Ewoks naked.
Yeah. Well, we could send them home with you, and then you could test them and then come back and give a review. Maybe.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. They might not come back clean. Come back with like yellow stains on them and stuff. So sorry, Johnny. I'll pay for them. I got yellow stains on them, but I'll keep them. I'm going to keep them. All right. We'll be back here in Uno Momento. All right, we're back, and we've got Reed's favorite game. Well, Reed's second favorite game after Feed the Reed.
Feed the Reed.
It's agree or disagree. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
You were born ready, weren't you?
I was born yesterday.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. Call him Reed Charles. All right, speaking of that, here he goes. Number one, executive producer David Alpert of the Walking Dead TV series has said that he has enough source material to easily go another 7 seasons with Rick Grimes' character and the story because of the comic book providing ideas for stories. Mm-hmm. Do you agree or disagree with this?
Yes, agree.
Now, I'm talking 7 more seasons.
Oh,
so
fuck yeah, easy.
We're 6 seasons in, so you're talking about going 12, 13 seasons.
But no one's ever done that. The only show that's ever gone that long was, what, Happy Days?
Well, you had MASH that went over 10 seasons. I mean, if you're talking about scripted...
Stargate.
You're talking about scripted shows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
Stargate went 10 years, I know.
Happy Days went over 10.
Damn.
Stargate went over 10. I think that, of course, Next Generation only made it 7.
7.
7 or 8.
Yeah.
7 seasons. I'm trying to think of it. Well, the Western show, I think Bonanza.
Mm-hmm.
During the time, it went on for like multiple...
See, but these 7 years after... Now, the thing is, we have to also consider, too, that Fear the Walking Dead is going to, you know... That's right, they never will meet up with them. That's right, they won't.
Because it's a prequel.
It's a prequel, but it will catch up to the same timeline. Okay, look, the first episode of Fear the Walking Dead is the when Rick Grimes is with his partner pulling that guy over.
Yeah.
That's what happened at the same time.
Yeah.
So when Rick Grimes pulled that guy over and got shot, this was happening in California.
I gotcha.
And so when... Now that show's going to go a couple more days. In that time, that's when Rick was in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to take place during that coma time that Rick was in for a month, whatever.
So that's where they're at.
That's where they're at, yeah.
On that.
Eventually, Fear of the Walking Dead will combine the webisode. Fear of the Walking Dead will combine with that. I believe one of the characters from the webisode, Flight 7, number, I don't remember the flight. One of those characters is going to hook up with the Fear of the Walking Dead crew.
Wow.
It's one of the actors. And so from there, they're going to do their own thing on the West Coast and whatever.
So you hear that, people, those of you that are watching Walking Dead and Fear of Walking Dead, but you're missing the webisodes, there's some
you have to watch. Well, you don't have to watch webisodes.
You don't have to, but there's some great backstory there.
If you're hungry for like just more Walking Dead stuff, watch those too, because they're good. They're not too bad.
All right, number two on Agree or Disagree. The interweb, also known as the interweird, has speculated that once Robert Downey Jr. is ready to hand in his Iron Man medal, that Marvel may take the approach of having a possible apprentice that is a part of the storyline to come in and take over as Iron Man, opposed to just rebooting and restarting with a different actor and a new universe of Iron Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Like Spider-Man has done multiple times.
No. Spider-Man, the character, was supposed to take... When the comic books, Spider-Man... Actually, Iron Man builds a Spider-Man new suit for Peter Parker. That wasn't Civil War.
It's been shown on the internet. Yeah. So people actually were hoping that they will cover that eventually in the current Civil War series that they're about to kick off with the new Captain America movie.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that happening.
And they're also...
I agree with that.
So you agree with that. And you like that idea. You think if Robert Downey Jr. is going to leave, they should just work that into the story.
He hands it over to Peter Parker,
You know, another speculation that was on the web was you saw the last Iron Man movie. In the last Iron Man movie, he gets help from a kid on a farm.
Oh, yeah.
In a small town to help get back up and running.
Yeah.
When things are kind of down and out, they thought maybe that kid would come back later as an adult and take over for Tony Stark as Iron Man. Did anything like that happen? Do you remember that ever happened in the comic books?
Well, in the comic books, the Civil War, none of that. It was Peter Parker, Well, all he did basically was, when I understand the Civil War, Iron Man made a suit for Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Instead of the Spider-Man suit, it was red and blue.
Uh-huh.
It was like red and gold.
And there's a picture of that. Someone put a mock-up of what they would like to see in the movie, to be that. So kind of a hybrid Spider-Man-Iron Man.
Yes.
That's what he becomes. Yeah. Does he still call itself Spider-Man?
He's still Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I'd love to see that.
That's pretty cool. That was the whole reason why I was shocked to see that Sony actually okayed the idea of letting Marvel, borrow.
They had to.
I was shocked.
Their backs were against the wall.
Yeah, because the whole thing...
the series was dying.
Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't that. Basically, for Civil War happens because Peter Parker reveals his identity. That's what happens in the comic books.
It's a big part
of it. That's a pivotal point. So that's the whole thing.
They would have had to completely just overhaul the whole concept.
And that's when you have the X-Men, humans versus mutants. That's where this starts. So it's too bad that Marvel doesn't have the X-Men, franchise because they sold it.
Yeah.
It's too bad they don't have that because they would be able to intertwine that. And it would be seamless.
But they've done a much better job with the X-Men than they did with Spider-Man.
Yeah. But still, if you tried to follow the timeline of all that, forget it. You'd be lost.
Oh, gosh. It would be like that last episode with you and Matt trying to figure out the Star Wars new universe versus the old EU.
Yeah, I know. It takes some time.
All right. So there you go. Agree on that. We've got agree and we've got agree so far. Number three, Harold Ramis from Ghostbusters, also director of Groundhog's Day. He passed away.
Oh.
Okay. So now that Harold Ramis has passed on, would you agree the better Ghostbuster movie is, in fact, now the female reboot that's planned for this summer?
Disagree.
Opposed to doing a sequel with the original cast, which would now have been minus Harold Ramis?
No, what? Okay.
Agree or disagree?
I agree. Also, I probably...
You've already disagreed.
But did they replace every single character with a girl? What's going on?
Well, supposedly it's a complete reboot. So it's... I don't know if it's actually going to be acknowledging the original Ghostbusters universe.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a start of a completely different Ghostbusters universe.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
And rebooting with a female cast instead of a male cast playing the roles.
I guess they see where it's going to be funny. I guess it'll work, but I don't know anything much. I would say disagree.
For years, people wanted a Ghostbusters sequel with Bill Murray and Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson and Dan Aykroyd, the original cast, Rick Moranis. But the big sticking point was Bill Murray wasn't going forward with it.
He didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to. Well, I don't know. Bill Murray's kind of a quirky guy.
Yeah.
So. I mean, here he's popping up in Austin bartending, like just on the fly. He'll show up at a bar and start bartending.
I've heard he shows up at weddings too, same way.
Yeah, he
crashes weddings.
And I mean,
well, he did Zombieland.
Yeah. So I'm
why
thinking,
didn't he do another Ghostbusters?
Well, I say the same thing, and I love Bill Murray.
Yeah,
hilarious guy, and I love Zombieland. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. I thought it was a great action comedy. Mm-hmm. I appreciated, the Woody Harrelson in it as well. But the thing with Bill Murray, I almost had the same... My nitpick with Bill Murray is the same nitpick I had with Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford complained about Star Wars and not wanting to do Star Wars anymore for a long... I mean, he wanted to be killed off in the original trilogy.
Yeah. It was also Lucas...
Well, Lucas said no. Lucas rejected
it. No.
Well, originally he promised he would kill him off. But then he backed off on it.
That was when we talked about with Matt Wilkins that Lucas offered the idea of killing off Harrison Ford because Dark Horse wanted to kill off Luke Skywalker and said, no, these are the three people you can't touch.
Yeah, in the comics.
R2-D2, 3PO, and Luke.
Yeah.
How about Han Solo? Oh, we don't want to do that. Can we kill Chewbacca? Yeah, go ahead.
They're okay with
that. So they're okay with that. So if that was talked about, that means that in the movies, that was definitely considered too. So Lucas is probably thinking about doing it. Harrison Ford probably definitely wanted to do
it. Well, he said he couldn't sell dead Han Solo.
Yeah, he probably came back and
dolls
said that.
Or right. Action figures.
Not
it was a,
yet.
It was a, when it was, came down to a money merchandising thing. So Harrison Ford couldn't get killed off. He wanted to get killed off. They said for years he had to hear people ask, whatever happened to Han Solo? He would have liked to have gotten killed off because then it would have just... But then later, he probably was very glad, $30 million later, after that big check he got for Force Awakens, he's probably thinking, George had something in mind for me later, sticking around. But finally, he gets, spoiler alert, finally, though, he gets his way, and he gets killed off. Yeah. And as the new trilogy starts, he gets killed off. So, major spoiler alert there, but if you haven't seen it by now, come on, it's February.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on, assholes.
Go ahead and see it, come on.
If you haven't seen it now, I'm going to spoil it for you. I'm going to drive around a car with Han Solo's dead in the back of it. A big sign in the back window. Somebody did that, did you know that?
No.
After the movie, they drove around a car, said Han
Solo's
dead.
Oh, that's horrible.
Around town, and then it was all over social media. What an asshole, right?
That's fucking awesome.
That's a fucking asshole, isn't it?
That's hilarious.
Was it you? It was Reed.
No comment.
No, it'd have been Chewbacca die is what he would have had in the back of his car. So anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about now. I've lost my train of thought. Anyway, So the problem with Bill Murray is Bill Murray didn't want to do another Ghostbusters for whatever reason. But I don't know. But he was okay with doing a Charlie's Angels movie. He did a Charlie's Angels movie.
That's exactly,
And
see, that goes back to the politics.
Harrison Ford, he's okay with doing Expendables 3.
I know.
He's in Expendables 3. But he doesn't want to be Han Solo anymore?
So, see, now, we saw a documentary, Chaos on the Bridge.
I call bullshit.
Chaos on the Bridge with William Shatner.
Yeah.
Now, something like that probably happened that we probably won't ever know for 20 years from now. All the politics of this shit, we won't know.
It's stuff we don't know until, like, 30 years from now.
30 years from now, we'll hear,
we'll be as old and fat as William Shatner is by that time, and our faces will be swollen up and red.
Yeah, raising horses and shit.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Okay, so... This is a little off the kind of cuff here. So, did you know about the taco war that brewed between San Antonio and Austin, Texas?
No.
Yeah, so a taco war brewed on the internet. Started from an article that was written by, I think, a food blogger or a food critic.
Mm-hmm.
And bloggers. Bloggers are always starting trouble. Bloggers are bored. Anyway.
Unqualified journalist.
Oh, I got a movie for you. You got to see. Called Truth with Robert Redford. It's a fairly new movie. I think it came out last year. It's got a great cast. Dennis Quaid's in it. Robert Redford.
Don't like Dennis Quaid.
Okay. Well, anyway, great cast. And it's about Dan Rather and the debacle at CBS.
Ooh.
And what happened. But you just hit upon journalism and stuff and blogging. But you'd get a kick out of it. You would really enjoy the story on that. Some good history there of journalism.
Nice.
Okay. And Robert Redford, man, he got nailed it with Dan Rather.
Oh, he played Dan Rather?
He played Dan Rather.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Just saw that the other day.
Wow.
All right, so taco war is brewed on the internet with Austin versus San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Both are battling for the claim on breakfast taco supremacy. Reed was eating breakfast tacos actually before we started. We were downstairs. Mm-hmm. So they're both battling for breakfast taco supremacy. Mm-hmm. So many have the opinion in Austin that even though they concede the invention of the breakfast taco probably began in San Antonio.
Oh.
They still believe Austin elevated the breakfast taco to a higher level. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Agree.
You agree with that? Yeah. So tell me, what do you think? Why?
It's just healthier. There are more hippies here in Austin.
That's what elevated it? They made a healthier version?
They made it a good, It's normally known as a flour with grease.
Right.
And with,
gigantic.
Yeah. So I think, I think the Austin taco would be better.
I'll expand on that. I believe that San Antonio is the Tex-Mex capital of the world.
Yes, yes.
Best Tex-Mex per square mile, more Tex-Mex per square mile, and great Tex-Mex, the way it was supposed to be done.
Puro Tejano.
Yeah, but Austin, they could take that, the honkies, the whiteies.
No. I would say...
The hipsters.
The Texians.
Yeah.
And the Tejanos.
Yeah, they took that... And they built a big wall around those breakfast tacos, a big Trump wall around
them,
and said, mine or mine. No. They basically, they took the taco, and they expanded on it, the breakfast taco, and they expanded on it, and they took it into different directions.
Yeah,
they made a healthy version. Yeah. They made a fusion version with like this different ingredient. They took it off, you know, the Torchies and the Taco Delis. And the
Torchies are awesome. Yeah,
yeah, they made a variety of different types. They've fried avocado. And so there you go. So you agree on that.
I agree with that, yeah.
Okay. All right. When we come back, thoughts and advice for that ass. We got one for you. We'll be back here in a minute. All right, we're back. Reed Charles.
What's up?
12th episode, I think, of this podcast.
The 12th? I don't know.
12th, yeah.
What if it ain't 12?
Well, I'll edit the number, and it's actually the number.
Change it.
Yeah, I'll change it. So Reed was telling me after we were on a break about
getting
his trip
lost
to Dallas and getting lost.
So after I went to FanCon, right?
Yeah.
And I was heading home. I got lost. I took a wrong exit, and the GPS turned me around. Basically, and I ended up going to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Before he knew it, I was traveling, and all of a sudden, wait, this looks familiar. And I see a lot of people out, and I go, oh, it's Daily Plaza. And so I was like, oh God, I'm right here. And I was like, I was taking the same route that Kennedy took.
You weren't driving in a convertible.
No, I wasn't driving a convertible. Yeah. But I knew that
would have been real creepy, wouldn't it?
That would have been creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the third lane and the lane in the center. If you look carefully, there's a little X.
Yeah.
You drive over it. That's where it happened.
Yeah.
That's where the bullet entered the head. So I drove.
So you just kind of occurred to you all of a sudden.
It just occurred to me. It's like, oh my, why is this so familiar? I just noticed it. And I was like, oh, the center lane. So I got in the center lane and I slowed down real quick. I slowed down and I was looking at people and I was going, boo, like aiming at my head. Like I got hit in the head. And I just went down the same
route.
Did
you actually start doing that boom, boom?
Yeah, I was going, boom.
Hands to your head.
Boom. You know?
Did people look at you like, is this guy Asperger or is he mentally just...
So it was just a freak accident. I got lost, got rerouted to this route, and it was a Daily Plaza route. And
that,
it's got
that
back...
That means something.
Dad.
Sir, are the man who's intended to find out bring the answers finally to the questions of the Kennedy assassination mystery.
Probably so.
Are you a lone gunman, or there were more than one shooter theory?
No, more than one, yeah.
Yeah.
More than one.
You apply to that.
Yeah.
You read a lot of history. Did you study the Kennedy assassination pretty... There's some people, that's their thing, is Kennedy assassination. Like, they study that from top to bottom.
There's just so many BS things about that. I don't know.
Kind of like you're a World War II. You like to say World War II history.
Oh, Hitler. Oh, dude.
And Hitler. But there's some people, Kennedy assassination.
It's a big thing.
That's their thing. And they study that from top to bottom.
I don't know too much. I know more about Hitler escaping Germany and going to Argentina. That is true.
Well, you should know then who Prescott Bush is. You know, Prescott Bush was he's the Bush family.
Oh, the grandfather. Wasn't he the grandfather?
The grandfather.
Of Bush first president?
George Herbert.
Herbert.
So he's the Prescott Bush, and he was the banker that funded the Nazi army.
Yeah.
And he made a ton of money off of World War II.
See, people always like, oh, that's so terrible. The reason why that happened is because after World War I, the U.S. didn't want anything to do with Europe's wars. They were tired of it, right, after the First World War. They noticed that this guy with a funny mustache started making a lot of waves, making a lot of progress, and basically, like, okay, this guy's a threat, but can we deal with him? Yeah, we can. We can actually do business with him. No, they have the communists. We can't do business with them because they don't believe in capitalism. We can't deal with them. The fascists, Hitler and Mussolini, now those guys are not communists, but they're okay with the free market. We can deal with them. We can make negotiations. We can have trade. That was the reason why IBM and the Bushes back then dealt with them. The Rockefellers, Ford, gave money to them because they knew that they would be possible good trading partners in the future. That was the only reason why they actually did that. Now they're making their bets and saying, well, this guy's making some waves. He's conquering everybody. It might be a good idea to go ahead and make friends with him because he's going to be the guy we're going to end up being a partnership. Like, that's why we have now in Europe. Europe is our biggest trading partner.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they saw back in World War II. And of course, England, asked us for help because they were screwed pretty much, and they gave us all kinds of stuff just to help them out. So I think that's the reason why people don't realize that that's what was going on. Business was the main thing. Can we negotiate with this guy? Can we make deals with him? Yeah, we can. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why they did that.
So I got a really good book that I've just heard about it recently. He's Roger Stone, and he worked for the Reagan administration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Roger Stone. And he was working for the Trump, this guy here. Oh. And he was working for Trump's campaign in the early going mm-hmm. as an advisor. And I think he still advises him a little bit. And he just came out with a book, Jeb Bush and the Bush Crime Family. He wrote a book about it.
Yeah, they were bootleggers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he was working as a consultant or advisor to the Trump campaign in the early going.
So he knows some shady stuff about the Bush family.
You know? Oh, absolutely. He wrote a whole book, and he's been on a book tour talking wow. about it and stuff. Yeah. Smart guy, though. Whether you agree with his politically, you know, that's a whole other thing, but it's a really interesting book. That I've been wanting to finish reading that. Okay. Wow. So here it is. It's time for a little Zen. It's been a heavy week. We have, so, you know, Gus. Gus, our my 16-year-old mm-hmm. pug.
The one that talks to you?
Precious little dog that yeah. talks to us. Yeah. Yeah. So he's getting old now. And mm-hmm. he has, I think in the early stages, probably is like a CDS, which for dogs is like a dementia, kind of like where the brain is kind of things are going on with the brain sort of. So he's got this thing now. He's waking up like a weird hour. Like he's waking up like at 4:30, 5 o'clock. And it's been going on since the beginning of the year.
How old is he?
And he just starts barking. And he won't stop barking unless I feed him. And he's kind of getting old and curmudgeon, kind of crotchety. So our sleep is real messed up. Like our sleep has been real messed up. So anyway, so we need Zen even more than normal.
More than normal.
To kind of bring it centered. Some thoughts and advice. Thoughts and advice for your day. We need it more now than we ever did. Love that little pug, but man, I wish he would wake up like an hour later. And he's waking up right now and barking and barking and barking. Anyway, it's old age, but I'm trying some different things. I'm going to take him to a Reiki healer. Mm-hmm. I've been giving him vitamins also for his brain.
How old is he?
16.
Oh, my God.
In dog years, that's 72. Like in dog to human years, if you calculate that.
16?
He would be 72 if he was a person.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Skittle, who's the Jack Russell mix, mm-hmm. she's 10, which is 52 in human years. So she's middle age. Wow. Well, 52 is like the new 32. So she's like in a prime. All right, here's the thoughts and advice. And staying on the subject of out of control dogs and out of control pets, let's talk about out of control bunnies. Yes.
Deep in the green woods, animals play. Hopping and jumping the day away. Follow the animals in their game. Here we go, now let's do this. Hop.
Reed was coming over, and he was getting over here earlier before we started recording the podcast. He sees these two giant bunnies in front of our house. Mm-hmm. Bunnies on the loose. Hop along. All right, so here's a problem. People, if you own pets, whether it's a dog or whether it's a cat or whether it's a bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Keep them on lockdown. Don't let your pets run amok all over the neighborhood. Be a responsible owner. How would you like it if just everybody decided they were going to let their animals just run around the neighborhood? It'd be like a Noah's Ark gone wild.
That thing is as big as a dog.
Oh, those bunnies are huge.
That's a hare.
So these two hares.
No, that the big one's a hare. The small one's a rabbit.
What is a hare? What's the difference?
Hare and rabbit.
Oh.
They're different. They're the same family. Liparids. Wars.
See, and Reed wanted to take them home so we could maybe cast them in his movie.
Yeah, give him weapons and armor.
He's got costuming that fits him. That's made for a bunny and a hare. Yeah. Anyway, we got somebody in our neighborhood that owns rabbits.
Wow.
And this is the second time in a month that they've gotten loose. And our neighbor, you know, Bob, the neighbor, who's been on this podcast, he took them in a few weeks ago when they were loose before. He caught them. I think he caught the big one. Because the big one, all you do is just like kind of lean over and tackle it. Mm-hmm. But the smaller one's faster, more agile, can get away. So I think he mainly caught the big one. And you were here the last time.
I saw him in the window. Yeah.
And they were in the window.
It's like, what the hell?
Because he took them in. Yeah. And then he somehow found who the person was that owned the rabbits.
Shit.
He tracked him down. And he was like, I got your bunnies. Which, by the way, it's a great pickup line if you're at a bar and you tell a girl, I got your bunnies.
I got your bunnies.
It works every time.
Do you want to tell them about the sanctuary? There's a sanctuary. I can tell you where it's at.
Oh, yeah. And so, anyway, well, we're going to talk about that. So if you got animals, keep them on lockdown. How would you like it if we just everybody just let their animals run around amok? Do you know how that would be the Walking Dead of animals? I mean, it'd be so much bloodshed. Yeah. So it's just not. If you're gonna have animals, be responsible. Golly. I mean, how would you like it if I let my animal loose? And I'm not talking about my dogs. I'm talking about the dog. You're going to talk about some problems. There'd be some problems in the neighborhood if
scaring
I ran...
Scaring all the chitlins and shit?
If I ran around with that swinging around a little...
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Yeah. Talking about a hair.
Ow!
Oh. Anyway, it's just thoughts and advice. Keep your bunnies on lockdown. Don't let your bunnies get loose. And by the way, there is a bunny sanctuary.
Yeah, there's a bunny sanctuary in Pflugerville.
Oh, it's close.
Yeah.
We should just catch those bunnies and take them to the sanctuary.
Man, but it's sad, though.
The guy doesn't care. So this is the thing. The guy that owns these bunnies, and this is what got me on my rant. Mm-hmm. The guy that owns those bunnies.
Jerk.
Bob has his number, so he called him again this time because his bunnies came back because Bob took them in before he was feeding them. So they hopped along back over this way. And here they are. And because they knew Bob had taken them in and fed them before, so they come back looking for Bob because Bob is like their home away from home. Mm-hmm. You know, he's their second mama. Anyway, they come back, and this time Bob is like, "No, I'm not taking you bunnies in. You ate me out of a whole house the last time you were here. So no couch surfing this time."
Yeah, man, no couch surfing.
Yeah,
that's
so
a big rabbit too.
So they've been kind of just chilling out in front of my house because I'm Bob's neighbor. They're hanging out in front of Bob's house. They're hanging out in front of my house. Bob calls the guy that owns the bunnies. He says, "Your bunnies are back, bitch. What are you gonna do about it?" And the guy was like, "If you catch him, just probably give me a call."
Probably give him a call.
Jesus.
Well, they eat grass, so maybe they're cutting your grass.
That's true.
It's like having goats.
Man, in that case, we don't have to mow the lawn tomorrow.
You'd be good.
I just let those bunnies in their big overbites.
You think that they're fixed?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, man. You can have thousands of bunnies here.
You could just come and film a guerrilla filmmaking. You can come here and film Leopard Wars just on the on location.
Right in your front yard right there.
Yeah, you could just CGI in their armor and weapons. Film the movie with real bunnies. You don't even need puppets.
Not anymore.
You just shoot it here in Crestview neighborhood. All right. I don't want to see loose bunnies unless it's the Easter Bunny and it's Easter Sunday and you're going to leave some eggs in my backyard.
Playboy bunnies.
Well, the wife might not be so
thrilled about
that. Oh,
that's right. I can't have that.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Unless maybe they bring us like champagne and chocolate.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Chocolates and like bring us breakfast in bed. So I don't know if she still would go for it. Now she probably wouldn't like it. She said, "Get those spinny
back massage.
Get those bitches out of here." Playboy, supposedly no more nudity in Playboy. Did you hear about that a while back?
I got internet, man. I don't need that Playboy no more.
Oh, yeah. Well, and soon you'll have virtual reality headphones and glasses.
That's dangerous, man.
With your porn. That's
dangerous stuff.
It's going to be like trying to pump like your refrigerator, thinking it's like the girl. It's like, man, you look great, but you feel like a piece of refrigerator.
No, it's not good, man.
Yeah. It's you know that the new problems that's going to bring?
Relationships are going to be destroyed.
Oh, gosh.
Procreation will be gone. No more procreation.
Oh, man.
No more dating.
It's over. Well, that's the plan.
It's over.
That's the plan. That's what they want. That was the plan.
Depopulation.
Depopulation. What's going
to happen? You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers and you bash.
And then boom, Walking Dead comes to life.
And then it's just bunnies take over.
Yep, bunnies take over. That's our
the
whole
bunny
plan.
Apocalypse right here in my neighborhood. It's not a zombie apocalypse. It's a bunny apocalypse. Apocalypse. Hopping along. All right. God, stop that music. I hope
it's not helping.
I want to thank Reed Charles.
Paul.
Oh, and hey, hold on 1 second.
Oh, the hammer.
That's a gift from Judson Davenport. He left that for you
crap.
When he was here recording episode 11.
Look at that.
It's a hammer for you. Hammer time.
Yeah, whosoever be he worthy, you shall have of the power. Whatever, man. It's a trick.
No, it is much more than that, my friend.
If I lift it, do I get to rule Asgard?
Yes, of course.
I will be fair but firmly cruel.
Hammer of Thor. There it is.
Mjolnir.
That's a gift for you from Judson Davenport.
Wow, man.
Awesome. Had a good time podcasting. He listens to the podcast, so he'll hear you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Is that a crystal at the bottom?
I don't know.
Holy shit.
I didn't even notice that part. If I had seen that, I might have hid that thing and not even told you about it.
This is gorgeous.
I might have kept that shit. All right. All right, we're
Wow.
going to call it a day. Everybody have a great minute, hour, second, millisecond. We're going to hammer that whatever next thing out of the calendar is that I can think of. What's that? What's smaller than a millisecond?
What's smaller than a millisecond? Hey, Daddy, I know you're watching Walking Dead, but what's smaller than a millisecond?
Shut up! I'm watching Walking Dead! All right, we're out of here, people. Bye-bye.
I lied.
Thunderpop, 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 oh, Thunderpop.
Thunderpop, in association with D's Nuts Productions. Got 'em.
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.